Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
Shotokan Karate, the ancient Japanese martial art of self-defense. Come to the Dento Takina Dojo, the headquarters of the International Karate Do Association. 381 Canal Place, Suite 203, Bronx, New York. Learn traditional Shotokan karate from certified black belt instructors from the U.S. and Japan. Kata, Kumite, and Culture, official training center of the New York Guardian Angels. Kids, teens, and adult classes available. Call 917-383-8787 for more information. Dento Takina Dojo, headquarters for the International Karate Do Association, 381 Canal Place, Suite 203. Call 917-383-8787. Come get your karate on.
The Martial Arts History Museum is the first of its kind in the world, and it only exists with your support. Give generously to the museum and always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio.
That's right, Michael Matsuda. Always listen to Sidekick Talk Radio. Welcome to the program, Martial Arts Talk Radio. I'm your host, Danny Venna, and your co-host, Greg Molina. Tonight, we're going to just cover two things real quick. Thanks for joining the program, Greg.
You're welcome.
Sidekick Talk Radio with Shihan Alan Woodman, the host, and Sensei Timmy Prisk, the co-host. Call in every Wednesday at 12 noon, every Sunday at 6 p.m., and to speak to the host live, dial 347-237-4818. And as for the submission of bios, high-resolution photos, and contact information, today is January 10th already. We are starting to approach the deadline, so anybody who wants to submit, we're looking for 500 names of masters around the world. Submit the bios, high-resolution photos, and contact information, and use the following website, sidekickpublications at yahoo.com, or you can send it right to Sensei Alan Woodman at yahoo.com. Please, I urge you, it is the 10th day of the year. They're working diligently on this book. Get the bios in, make sure they're accurate. I was also told to announce, don't cut and paste from a website. Because when they try to do what they have to do, it won't let them because of copyright infringements. So make sure you write a fresh bio, submit it in a Word document, and then again, high-resolution photographs. Don't copy and paste the photographs either. They have to be high-resolution photographs. And make sure in your submission that you submit detailed contact information such as name, address, phone number, email. Give the production team a chance to call you if they have any questions. So, again, that's now the clock is running, and we got to get the bios in. So how are you tonight, Greg?
Doing good, Sensei. How are you?
Tell you, the program we had last night, What it was, we were invited to participate in some of the Blog Talk Radio's hosts that do martial arts programs. So on the program last night was all of the Blog Talk Radio hosts and some of the co-hosts. So what they did was organized a time, you know, to put us all together. We all called in, and what it was the focus of the show was to let all of the listeners that listen the Martial Arts Talk Radio programs, that all of these people now, we're all trying to bring everybody together. That seems to be what comes out of everybody's mouth, is that they're trying to build awareness, get people to participate in some of the programs that are being mentioned on these shows. Some of them very valuable programs. They were talking about PTSD survivors. And that is something that's very real and so has to do with the military. Some of the people that have been talking about it serve the community in that way. And I think that that's a very, very important thing for martial artists to do. And let me get... Oh, that's a horrible feedback. What is that? Well, they have a show that's called The Modern Combat Masters that airs Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I just set up the links from my show to theirs and their shows, to mine. I'm not done with it yet, but that's the intent. The intent is to link all of the hosts that spend time towards talking about what we're going to talk about tonight. Very valuable to the community. So whether it's it doesn't matter what discipline you're from. Tonight on the program, they had a wide variety of martial art talents from all over the place. Most of the hosts called in from the East Coast. Now we got to start working our way west, and then we got to work our way overseas. So we got to build awareness. It's going to take time. But one of the topics that Greg was covering about maybe 2 weeks ago was CrossFit training and cross training. So I'm going to turn it over to Greg.
Sure. Yeah, we can continue that from what we did last week. And we basically just gave a basic overview of what CrossFit and cross training is, and how it can benefit you as a martial artist, and just in general for keeping your health up. And we can continue that, go into that a little bit more. And basically, CrossFit is known for having what we call a WOD. That's WOD, which is workout of the day. And it makes it pretty simple because the workout of the day is always posted. Every day is a different workout based on a different cycle that you might be in, whether that be strength-oriented or, a strength cycle or an endurance type of cycle. And it makes it simple because you can follow different types of programs and just see what the workout of the day is and jump in and start recording, where you're at. And one thing that people might not know about CrossFit is it's infinitely scalable, meaning people of all ages and levels can do it. A lot of people will see the professionals on ESPN and think, wow, that's kind of extreme, or, they must be into some really good shape to be able to do that, and they are, but all the workouts are scalable for everybody. And one of the main things that CrossFit is about is, they say that the needs of the elderly and people that are in the military and MMA fighters, the needs are the same, all right? It only differs in the degree of which you're doing it. In other words, everybody needs functional movement. Everybody needs to learn how to move functionally. It just matters of the degree and the intensity at which you do it. You know, in other words, you know, I might be doing the same exact workout as a 65-year-old man would be, or woman.
Right.
I might be using, you know, 250 pounds on a squat. They might be using a PVC pipe. But either way, we're doing the same movement. You know, if the workout calls for 21 reps of thrusters, which is a full front squat into a overhead press, you know, it calls for 95 pounds. You know, maybe that out-of-shape individual or older individual is going to use, like I said, a PVC pipe. So that just gives you a little bit of an example of how it's infinitely scalable. You don't have to worry as far as, you know, am I in shape or not. The point is, start at some point.
Right.
You know.
Right. And work at your own pace.
Yeah, exactly. So I definitely highly recommend the CrossFit system for anybody looking to cross-train. And it's a general physical preparedness system that's going to get you ready in all aspects. It's not going to make you a great person at endurance activities. It's not going to make you a insanely strong athlete as far as being a power lifter lifting thousands of pounds. It's going to give you a broad, general, inclusive fitness, and which, in my opinion, is perfect for any martial artist.
Right, right. Because we have to work our entire body. Everything.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I'd like to go into a little bit of cross-training and, you know, our opinions on that. Basically, the thought of training in other styles and other, you know, at other schools with other instructors. You know, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, back in the day, I know even when I was starting, I mean, I started my training in 1997, you know. For a lot of people listening, I'm sure, you know, that's they have a lot more experience than me and started years before me. But even back when I started, it was kind of frowned upon in general that, from what I heard in other arts, to train at different schools, you know, maybe even in the same style. It could be the same style of karate, but it was still frowned upon to train at a different school, you know, because some instructors questioned your loyalty that way. So what do you think about that, Sensei Ben? I mean, as far as, like, the loyalty training in other schools and styles. Obviously, we have our own opinions because, you know, you're my instructor with the issue. So what do you think?
Well, the way Sensei handled that was he would call his friends and he would arrange visits, meaning he would call up, let's say, Don Nagel. He would call up Peter Urban. He would call up Moses Powell. He would call up his friends. And little by little, he would set up meetings. Now, all of these people come from different disciplines. We happen to be Ishinru stylists, so we went to go visit representing Ishinru. But so as not to violate any honor, Sensei called it visits. And he would take us around to different dojos, and we would exchange. And I guess that's how he handled it, because he wanted to be completely loyal to his sensei. He would never take any rank from anybody else. So, you know, those two guys were best friends. So, you know, they had that going. And then the Marine Corps background. And then the fact that, you know, they were martial artists together. I think that's the way he viewed it, because this way he couldn't get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's how he handled it. He went to go visit people.
Yeah, definitely. I could see that. I think, you know, I definitely like the idea of cross-training, training and with other styles and other, you know, martial arts. And obviously, you know, we've always talked about it. You got to keep an open mind, learn as much as you can, take what's useful, you know, reject what's useless, sort of the whole Bruce Lee mantra. But I think, you know, it's definitely good to promote, but two things you got to be aware of. Number one, questioning the loyalty of where your instructor is, meaning if you're going out and training at different schools and styles, you know, with the objective of trying to learn more than your instructor or trying to do it behind its back. And that's not being loyal, definitely. And, you know, you want to give your instructor a heads up, you know, and that definitely plays a part of it. You know, if you're training with other people and then you compete in a tournament and you're not competing under your home flag, meaning your home team and your home school, then that's obviously not being loyal. Or going from team, switching schools, switching instructors left and right, that's also not good. It's also not going to get you anywhere in rank in any particular system. That's one thing. The other thing is why I think most people reluctantly or try to, you know, frown upon training with other people is they don't want to instill bad habits on their students. They don't know where their students are going to train. If they give them a free open season on training wherever they want, they might be with a bad instructor. So I think exactly like when you said, you know, Sensei McGrath set up visits, you know, it's under his supervision with people he trusts. You know, that's definitely different. You got to know your student, too. If your student's a beginner, you might not want him to go and train with somebody that's going to give him bad habits. If your student's been around for a while, you know that he's educated enough to do that. So,
well, I'll tell you, last night they spoke about the tournaments back then and then, of course, the tournaments of today. My initial response was that bad habits, the tournaments, what differs from those tournaments then to the tournaments today is that I see that the karateka has bad habits. They do things that are that really weren't even allowed back then. You would never turn your back on a fighter. Whereas sometimes they'll jump in the air, they'll throw a technique, they'll think they scored, and they spin around and walk away. Like as if, you know, look at me. And that bad habits in technique, posture, and behavior is what I see is the difference. And then I also referred to and posted some pictures today. We didn't wear any pads. We didn't wear mouthpieces, no cup, no foot pad, nothing. We didn't wear anything. It was just our gi and obi.
Yeah, and, yeah, definitely.
You know, that's a difference. Now, we do have a caller here from the 405 area code. Who's calling?
Hey, Hanchi, this is Daryl. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good tonight. I'm doing good.
I see you listening in.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. I posted some pictures today. You know, you sparked a lot of memories talking to those people yesterday. A lot of things that, a lot of images crossed my mind yesterday from the past. Images that I haven't really looked at for a while. And what an amazing group of people we had on the phone last night. If we can continue to do that, that's like sewing a thread through the fiber of martial arts in America. And then if we can continue to you know, gain ground by getting people to understand the mission and really do some bonding, maybe that's a good word. Once you get people on board and you start bonding with them, which is what, see, Greg just asked a great question about cross-training. The place of Okinawa is a ground of cross-training melting pot. Everybody goes to Okinawa. You go see what this guy does with that, you know, what's this system, what's that. And that vision of martial artists that go around and seek that knowledge, you know, are like sponges like we are. Since it exists on the island of Okinawa, where my karate is from, that was one of the behaviors that Sensei did because there were a lot of people in his day that we refer to today now as pioneers. I mean, they didn't know it then, but we know it now as to what their stamp on the martial arts. It was just an incredible amount of talent that went around. And when you were in those circles and you got to see the way they did their discipline and you apply that now to you use some of those architectures and those movements. When you look at some of the films of Irvin, he used to move his hands around, and the way Nagel would stand, and you know, some of the postures. It was almost like it was like electricity, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
So you really sparked a lot of memories last night. A lot of the people that were on the show knew the people that Sensei knows. I'm here in North Carolina. I'm all by myself down here. You know, to have all of those memories and all those conversations last night just was so awesome. Thank you so much, Grandmaster.
What an honor. I look forward to seeing everybody's show grow and everybody everybody working together. I think it's going to be a great thing.
It is, because the efforts of a collected group like that, you know, that's like a train. Once the train starts going, it builds momentum. And once that momentum goes, it actually can sustain itself, you know, until you stop it, until you slow it down. But it's just and then some of the topics that were being discussed, you know, some of the martial arts systems that we were talking about. I believe that the human brain, once you give it something, if you take the initiative to really, Alan Woodman was talking about it on his program. When you learn something and you go through it, let's say, for the first time, and I think it was mentioned on your program last night where Bruce Lee could look at a technique, be shown something, and then actually do it better than the person who showed it to him. And that's what Greg was talking about. If we take care of our bodies, eat right, sleep right, train right, and once you take the components apart and put them back together and practice them and really try your best to do your best at it, look at what happens. Look at the results. The people on the program last night have spent the majority of their life doing this activity, behaving this way. So you would only, you know, have to assume that now, after all of that time, something good had to happen out of that. When you go to other dojos and you share with others, especially dojos back then were either a fighting dojo or a kata dojo. If you wanted to learn your weapons, you went over here. If you wanted to learn how to fight, you went over here.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I mean, even back when, you know, you brought me on and started teaching me, it was always in a very realistic environment. And when we first started going to tournaments, I had a kind of, you know, I had a big eye opener because, like you said, it was a whole different type
of right. Yeah. Down. You weren't allowed to do that stuff in the tournament.
No, yeah, it was definitely an eye-opener, which, you know, in the interview that I did, you know, talking about, it's like, what is your goal? If you just wanted to be, you know, good at the sportive aspect of it, you know, then that's fine, you know, but you're not going to take that type of fighting that you're doing in the tournament and say that's going to be realistic, you know what I mean? There's a lot of schools that I think, you know, flirt with that line, and it's kind of like all they do is tournament, but then they're convinced that that will work, you know what I mean?
Now, when you pull your talent from some of the martial artists that they were talking about last night on Grandmaster Darryl's program, Dr. Moses Powell, Ronald Duncan, or Sensei Ronald Duncan, Mr. La Puppet, I mean, those people, when you watch them work out, in all different disciplines now, it was magic, man. I mean, these guys, I wrote on my Facebook page today, they taught us the martial arts, what martial arts are supposed to do. Whether you're standing up, whether you're on the ground, whether you're in a tree, whether you're on a rope, whether you're on a cliff, whether you're in the water, whether you're in sand, whether you're on dirt, rocks. They taught us, they worked us out outside. They made us rig. I mean, the things that we learned from those men, You cannot put a price on. I said it was priceless. You know, those downloads of information that you got exposed to was invaluable. Because now, at this age, when you have to apply certain techniques that have to work for you now, you know, you're teaching, you're at this age now. Certain things that they showed us were like, I don't want to say they were secrets, but they were timing issues. You know what I mean? I mean, I could go on and on and on because that's how my martial arts background was built. It was built on cross training. The sensei took us everywhere, to every discipline he could find. And, you know, he started with, you know, a guy named Professor Cates, who was a judo guy. They opened up a dojo in North Carolina, and look at what happened from that. Look at the great competitors that were born from that. Oh. What a program you had last night, Grandmaster. Thank you.
It was an enjoyable time. And, you know, when you talk about cross-training, and I look at a lot of the pioneers, each one of them cross-trained during that time when it wasn't 100% acceptable, per se. You know, when you look at Grandmaster Urban, you're talking about somebody who trained with Richard Kim and then trained with Yamaguchi and then also trained with Masuyama. So, I mean, he trained with all those guys concurrently, being taken to Yamaguchi and Masuyama from Richard Kim. So, you know, you look at him, you look at a Grandmaster Sarangano who trained with a variety of different jiu-jitsu and judo people, you know, and then he's one of the first inheritors that I know of in the United States getting actual Menkyo Kaiden from Nakihara.
Yes.
So you look at a lot of the pioneers, and Grandmaster Kate's dojo is famous because all of those guys that were in the Marine Corps, including O-Sensei Ronald Duncan, all trained with Grandmaster Kate's at that early time in judo as well. So I just think that as long as you're mindful and respectful about how you do it, and you at least gain the permission from your main teacher, then I think it's a very good thing to do.
And it was almost required back in the day. But I want to say this about what you just said. When I moved to North Carolina, O-Sensei Ronald Duncan called me and said, "How you doing down there?" And we had about a two-hour conversation about my new home, what I'm trying to do for Sensei. And then they went on to talk to me about, you know, good luck. I like what you're doing. He was looking at my Facebook page. He was, you know, seeing all the pictures. And I was a kid, man, around these guys. And I cannot say enough about that experience. And what you did last night on the program just, like, sparked all those memories. And, you know, it was just such a great time for Sensei because he loved those guys. I mean, he loved States Marine Corps. And he loves his martial arts. Of course, his family comes first, obviously. But outside of his family, he loves the United States Marine Corps, and he loves his martial arts. We all know that about Ed. It's just his way. And he was very sincere about it, and his peers saw that in him. And that's why he had such great relationships with these men. So I believe, To answer Greg's question, that's how we cross-trained back in the day. He just took us to visit. Mm-hmm. I love it. It was just a great time. Great time in martial arts. And I believe Professor Cates is going to be at Camp Budo this year, so maybe we can get him what we're trying to put together. I'll speak to, you know, his guys. Elvin Fields also has a dojo right here in North Carolina, in I believe it's in Durham. I need to go down there and go pay him a visit. But thanks for calling in to get, you know, tonight. They stopped us off the recording. But we can continue because when they upload the episode, this portion of the program is there. Anything you want to say? Anything you want to promote? I mean, I wrote everything down today of all the names that were there. So I have everybody's name. I think tomorrow, I got a little bit excited tonight when you called in, Grandmaster, because I did. I wanted to talk about the show last night. It was so informative and so heartwarming, like to talk to all those people, you know, and to tie that thread through. That's a wonderful opportunity for us. You know I love martial arts. I think it's like part of me. You know what I mean?
Right.
You have anything you'd like to say?
If you was asking me if we have any upcoming events, and we have a few upcoming events. I talked last night about our instructor training program as the inheritor to Grandmaster Billy Davis's jiu-jitsu system, jiu-jitsu self-defense system. We're going to be opening the doors for people who wish to earn their certification, instructor certification in the jiu-jitsu self-defense system that he developed. And so that will be held at the dojo of Hanchi Rico Guy in New York City. We'll be doing that training on the 22nd and 23rd of February up in his school on 14th Street between 6th and 7th Avenue. And then on that Sunday, we'll be holding the first annual Grandmaster Billy Davis Memorial Workshop. And we have some wonderful instructors that are going to be sharing the floor that day. And so we hope that anybody and everybody is invited to that event for the instructor training program. Anybody that is brown belt and above is welcome to join and start learning the system and gain their certification in that art. And then for Sanukis, in April, we are formulating an event that I'll keep you up to date on that will be a master seminar with some of the top people, top masters of Sanukis group. It will be, I believe, in the New York area. And so we invite the public to come and be a part of that event if they would like. And then I'll be in Maryland in June. I believe the middle of June, around the weekend of the 14th and 15th, I'll be in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, teaching a seminar there, both of the combat jiu-jitsu and of the Filipino martial arts. So there's a couple of things that are coming up, and I'm looking forward to growing to teach some more seminars if anybody is interested in learning some of the combat jiu-jitsu or in learning Filipino martial arts. So that's really what I got going on right now.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So what we'll do is we'll take the link and we'll blast it out there so that the people that weren't able to tune in will at least be able to get that information. Anything else that you can think of?
Sophie Hassan Kalik has some events coming up. The week after the event for Grandmaster Billy Davis, I believe he was going to have a special event that gives honor to grandmasters who have passed away, kind of an ancestral event, and have various instructors there to share the floor on that. And I know that's going to be in the New York area, and that's going to be March the 2nd. And then in April, he does an event out in the public, I believe this time it would be in Upper New York, possibly in Harlem, that he calls Stop the Conflict, that it's bringing the martial artists out to assist in the community to stop some of the violence in the community. So I know he has those events coming up, and there'll hopefully be a lot more events going on through the year that all of us will be able to kind of share the floor and do some things.
Mm. And just give us the name of your program, please.
Modern Combat Masters, yeah. Modern Combat Masters on Wednesday evenings, Wednesday nights, at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I guess 8 o'clock Central Time, and I believe it's 6 o'clock on Pacific. So, on each Wednesday night we do that. And then Soki Hassan has his show on Friday nights, Making the Connection. And his show comes on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes, and I believe then Alan Goldberg, Sifu Alan Goldberg, is Action Power Hour radio show Tuesday night at 7 p.m. And to speak to the host there, it's 713-955-0323. That's Action Power Hour radio show with Sifu Alan Goldberg every Tuesday night. And then, of course, we have Sidekick Talk Radio with Shion Allen Woodman and Sensei Timmy Prisk every Wednesday at 12 noon and Sunday at 6 p.m. for 2 hours each show. And to speak to the host there, 347-237-4818. Now, I have to get what I do want to do, Grandmaster, is get a list of everybody who is on the show, so I have that information readily available so I can get through it, because I only get 30 minutes. And I want to try to get that information into the show every night, if I can. Tonight I fumbled a little bit, but I'll get it better. I just I have to build a comprehensive list with all the information that I want to announce, you know, so I can get it in there. So I'm working on that. I did speak to a couple of companies today to see if we can get some sponsorships. And basically what I got was some names, email addresses, and phone numbers of companies that are involved with giving money for sponsorship programs. Now, after speaking to Alan today, Alan Woodman, one of the key issues is that when they want to sponsor some type of event, in our case it will be, has to do with martial arts. One of the criteria for them to give money is that they want to be able to have something that they can sell at the event, such as companies like Nike. I called Nike today. I called Adidas. And I called, I got a list of companies here that I was trying to get who's the person in charge of starting the process. Who do I speak to? So now when we sit down, I'll be able to bring that information to the table and we can discuss that. As to what we can allocate to give them, whether it's floor space, whether it's a booth, whether it's whatever they want to promote at the event, let them do. So now what I'm trying to do is find out who are the people that are in charge of, one, starting the process, and actually now, I guess we're going to have to submit some type of request for their sponsorship. If you want to sponsor us at this event, these are the packages that we're willing to give you for different levels of sponsorship. So I got to get some more names. I want to get some more names, emails, and phone numbers, so that when we get a feel for, you know, what we talked about last night, we'll have some information as to how to go about starting that process and getting that money. Today, after I spoke to Alan, he had said to me that We can get some small vendors that sell like T-shirts, martial arts equipment. I even called Shiredo, Mitsubishi, and Sentry today to see if they would sponsor the event. And they could sell geese, equipment, obis, take orders for embroidery and all of that stuff. So I'm thinking that wherever you pick a venue, I wonder how much space we would need for them to set up what they're going to set up. See, that I don't know. I don't know, like, how big you would have to have the venue for the event as well as for the vendors, you know, and the sponsors. I'm not sure about that. I don't know how that really would work. I don't know if they would be on the exterior of the room. Let's say we get a square box. You know, will they be on the outside of the square box and then the event will be in the middle of the floor, I guess?
You can do that, or you can do something where the vendors can be in the hallway. That way there's no, I guess, like the inside can keep just with the martial art thing, and people have a place to sit down and watch and stuff like that. And
right,
then
right.
In the hallway, do it where the vendors are, so people have a chance to move around, ask questions, and it not impede with what's happening on the inside.
Yeah, sure. You don't want any distractions while the information is being floated around. I understand. Yeah, that would have to be separate. I understand. You wouldn't want commerce where, you know, you're trying to teach something. I understand.
Right, and then according to how big the floor is, the determination would have to be made on whether it's going to be done similar to a camp where we have three or four different people teaching at a time and rotate people, or whether you're going to give one person the floor at a time with a massive amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
So between Shion Allen, yourself, myself, and the others, there's those type of semantics to talk about in order to make everything run fluid.
You're right. I know at Camp Budo they usually put out six instructors in six rings. So you can have six different disciplines going on for that time slot all day long. And then they
right.
switch about. Some sessions run 30 minutes, some sessions run 45, and some run the hour, some run an hour and a half, all depending on what's being covered at, you know, at that particular, I shouldn't call it a ring, but that's basically what it is. It's that section. That's the way they do it at Camp Budo. Now, if we have a bigger floor, maybe we can run eight instructors. You know what I mean? Eight different sessions. And then to cover all of the student body, you like sort of, if you're in this one in the morning, and as the day is going by, you just go to the next one. And then you go all the way around the room so that you get to see all the senseis, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, it's a really nice process. And to see a 79-year-old man in Professor Kate's tapping out 20-year-old guys, it was amazing. What an event that was. We had a big turnout at Camp Budo last year. I hope it's going to be even bigger this year. You know, with some quality martial artists in that room for the weekend. So, yeah,
okay.
Those are the people I spoke to today. I'm trying to get to the right person. Who is the person that can help me start the process? So, who is this now? Let's see who this is. Oh, look. Sifu Restita. She must have been listening, I guess, and she sent me a message. So thank you very much for calling in tonight, Grandmaster.
All right. I appreciate it, and we'll keep moving forward with everything, and I look forward to hearing more of your shows. Yes, Sifu had tried to call in, but I guess the show was already down. So she didn't get a chance to get through. So I just texted her. I just emailed her the time of the shows, and I'm pretty sure she'll start getting on the show every once in a while as well to call in and support you.
Thank you very much, and I will do the same, you know, on your program.
You're always welcome to.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation. And Gregory, do you have anything you'd like to say to
you off?
Cut off.
I'm here.